Greetings, is the automatically deleted husband. I sent a postcard to Charlotte today. And if you want to see a photo of your granddaddy, it is on Google Maps. I was caught. Love granddaddy. I just, you know, obviously there's been basically no interaction with my grandkids. And since Julie has two of them, they do, you know, cross my mind. I actually have some photos right there on the wall of them. But, you know, so I thought about that because this is a way that you know, because again, I took the world stage. Google Maps has got me for real. But anyway, so that was a joy. I had a very productive day in doing soft work, cleaned up a lot of things. Anyway, but I won't go into that. But two things. One, a comment that to David Tulis, and the other, I have a verse for you in Ezekiel. David Tulis put out an article, and I'll leave you the link to the article. And like, as would expect, MLK Boulevard, Ground Zero for Smart City, steps forward toward NWO gains, New World Order. So he wrote about, apparently there's a lot of, you know, because Chattanooga has been called Gig City, because, you know, they were one of the first, if not the first, city in the nation to offer gigabit per second internet access to the home. And you know, he talks about apparently there are a lot of ties between the Chattanooga and the World Economic Forum and things of that nature. Somehow, I guess they're targeted in relation to things of that nature. And there's apparently some effort and some money. Several million dollars have been put into doing things in Chattanooga in order to make it a smart city. You know, it's MLK Boulevard. And I saw that and I said, okay, because they talked about things like, you know, because the move toward electric vehicles and stuff of that nature. So allow me to read my comments. You know, the problem I have is his comments are moderated. So he sends out the email. And I just checked, so several hours later, the comment isn't there, and so it's not going to get any eyeballs, but I did it anyway. But allow me to get some earballs? No. Not that. But, you know, I'll leave the text on the web. And let me take care of the, because obviously I'm a bad boy here. What I wrote: it is more than an irony that the focus is MLK Boulevard. If I recall correctly, he spoke a bit on the issue of what is known as African Americans. To power those electric vehicles, a whole lot of cobalt and lithium is mined in Africa by a lot of people who don't get paid, mostly kids. There's a word for that, isn't there? But that doesn't matter, since these are not African Americans, but African Africans. Do I have that right? Or is there an issue of being a human being created in the image of God? Then we have the need to monitor their subsequent use. That's a quote. Perhaps we should use the tagline, "Know everything about everyone." Maybe not, since that was used by the East German Stasi. Maybe we should use the NSA's line of, "Collect it all, exploit it all." After all, we can trust our government, right? The proper response is to say, "Hail victory." Satire aside, this is a program, is disgusting and dangerous. I did bad English in the last line, anyway. But it's a real concern, you know, because the article talked about the modern, you know, it really is fascinating. You know, because where you see it most often, but obviously the camera systems are very much in place in New York and in Chicago. You know, the safest cities in the United States, right? And so obviously they help, don't they? And, you know, what is that going to do to Chattanooga? But one of the issues is, I haven't seen it, you know, that discussed here, but what you see, for example, in China, is you see a picture of a street and you see people walking around and whatnot, and you see their IDs showing up on the screen. They, you know, could identify who this person is. I've seen this in like a, it was like a, some kind of, building entryway, whatnot, as people were coming in and, you know, they're identified, facial recognition and to whatever degree gait recognition. Because again, when, especially when you look at the street scene, you may not have a good image of their face, but you have their gait, and, you know, the way they walk. And that is a very reliable signature. So, I mean, those are the things that need to be kept in mind. But anyway, so they want that in Chattanooga. That should scare the living daylights out of you. The more the control comes in place, freedom is out the window. It really is. It really is. But, you know, there's a related verse on that, isn't there? I mean, it's interesting because we had a discussion a week or so ago, and I looked at the passage again today. But Ezekiel chapter 14, and something stood out about the last verse. The ESV is, "They will console you when you see their ways and their deeds, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, declares the Lord God." Or the LSV, "And they have comforted you, for you see their way and their doings, and you have known that I have not done all which I have done in her for nothing, a declaration of Lord Yahweh." So it's, you know, this is you know, the warning that, you know, I'm going to come and destroy this city. For the Lord said, you know, verse 21, for thus says the Lord God, how much more will I send upon Jerusalem my four disastrous acts, judgment, sword, famine, wild beasts, and pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. So he this is kind of like, things may not go well here, but in looking at that verse, one of the things that you know, obviously there's the context, which is important, but one of the things that stood out to me, well, two things. Well, let me do the easy one first. They will console you, or they have comforted you. And I looked at that and it says, well, that's probably parakaleo in the Greek, in the Septuagint. And I checked, and guess what? It's parakaleo, to call near. You know, and so, you know, when I think about that, and they have comforted you, for you see their way, or they will console you. What is it saying? Is it console? Is it comfort? I don't know what the you know, the Hebrew word in I won't try to pronounce it. Well, Nacham, I guess. To be sorry, console oneself, repent, regret, comfort, to be comforted. To be sorry, to be, to comfort. Okay. To ease oneself, to rue, repent of. Well, that's interesting, because to be sorry, to repent of, and it's translated as, they will comfort you. Well, you know, that's interesting, because they will comfort you when they see you. Now, what it seems to me is that comfort is, oh, don't be sad, but they're doing it. But if you look at it as parakleo, they're drawing you near, it's, we're in deep doo-doo here, and is there a drawing you near? As in, we're in deep doo-doo here, and we want you to join us. I don't know. I really don't know. Because the idea from the Hebrew, this is the Brown Driver Briggs translation, to be sorry, console oneself, repent, regret, comfort, to be comforted. You know, so there's the comfort and there's the repentance in there. I'm not sure. That's worth some study. But the thing that did catch my eye was I have not done without cause all the things, or I have done in her that which I have, or I have not done all which I have done in her for nothing. So it's the without cause or for nothing. And the word is, we see in the New Testament, for example, Matthew 15:9. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines and teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. It's also Mark 7:7. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, what they're doing is useless. So in the context, because this is a quote from Isaiah. Is it Isaiah or Jeremiah? Isaiah, I think. The in vain do they worship me. It's we're coming to worship the Lord, celebrate and have a big party and whatnot and so forth. It's all vanity. When you teach, when your worship is okay. the worship here, to revere, to worship. Okay. Because there is different words that are translated worship and so forth. And this one is to revere or worship, or, to be devout. Anyway, it's what they're doing is in vain, which is matine or whatever, in vain or fruitless,
I'll stop. But it is a useless thing to worship the Lord when you worship man's commands, not the Lord's commands. That's, I go and say, oh, I celebrate the Lord because the Lord told me to vote Republican, for example. I'm sorry. Or the Lord told me to, I'm following our doctrines because our community said go do, this whatever, or that we have this particular form of celebration that we do that we feel draws us closer to God, whatever it is. And we teach it to the point that we teach it as a doctrine. This is what we must do. It's not a doctrine of the Lord, it's a doctrine of man. And so it's useless. And these are the things that I constantly try to examine in myself. Where am I doing things that are useless? But so we see that so how do you apply that to the Ezekiel passage? I have not done without cause, or I have done in her for nothing. I really think it's when you look at the destruction that comes. In the case, again, verse 21 talks about sword, famine, wild beast, pestilence. Sword, in other words, war. Famine, in other words, I'm hungry because I don't have any food. Wild beasts, which is not as much of a problem, I think, in the sense of big animals in our day-to-day, but it's the virus. And of course, pestilence. Pestilence would be, that would be an interesting, what does that mean, the attack on plants? Let's look. the famine, wild beasts, and the NASB shows plague, pestilence, plague. Specifically in reference to cattle. Okay. When those things happen, we can say, oh, we didn't, the Lord isn't protecting us because he's too weak or something, or one of the major points of this passage is that when these things happen, it's the Lord doing it. He's bringing these things on. He's making it happen. And, it goes back to the, the New Testament God is nice and fluffy and the Old Testament God is mean and ornery. Not at all. Because one is the same God. He shows just as much grace in the Old Testament as the New, but that's a whole other subject. But I think the point here is when we see these things happen and we say, well, we need to prepare more. We see the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, or we see the war happening in Ukraine. We see the food droughts and whatnot in Africa and we see the political turmoil in many places, and of course we do see the plague or the the pestilence, we might say, in the form of COVID-19, which again, that's a lot of malarkey, but that's another. But see, and we think, oh, well, it's because we need to prepare better. No. I'm sorry. It's unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchmen watch in vain. So no matter what kind of preparation you can do, doesn't matter. The Lord can one-up you really easily. And it happens. As we see in the Ezekiel 14. And so the question is, how do we prepare? It is our trust, our obedience is to him. We're not, in related, although it's not directly applied, but, the idea of teaching as doctrines, the commandments of man, things of that nature, is not a good idea. Because, and it's, it goes back to the Romans 13 issue too, doesn't it? Because he doesn't bear the sword in vain. Does that mean he's punishing the evildoer who is robbing a store? Or he's punishing a population or disobedience to him, as because the example obviously is the Chaldeans, being sent off to Babylon and those kind of things. He used other people to chastise his own. He does it constantly, and I would suggest that's the sword he's using to punish the evildoer. So I think these. I would go with the idea is consistent, and the objective is to find the consistency. But anyway, this was fascinating. The without cause, to see that it's in vain, and to see the analogy of he uses the term about his bringing up about sword, famine, wild beasts, and pestilence. He didn't do it in vain. But when we worship him in vain... Not a good idea. And that contrast I really found fascinating. And then later I found the console comforted and so forth is the parakaleo, which is kind of like, oh, I you know, again, it's, you know, because the soon parakaleo is one of my favorite words. Just delightful. But anyway, one of the hardest things that I did recently was the close of yesterday's voicemail. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.